Sports Fusion. I'm your host, Han, holding it down as always. The genius Paul Rich. Introduce yourselves to the people once again.
What up?
Whoa. Let's repeat that. That sounded kind of a little muffled there. Let's give the audience a little bit more energy than that, boss.
Muffled? I'm sorry, I had chocolate chip cookies in my mouth.
What the hell? Pause. I ain't trying to hear that.
Hey man, ain't no pause for that. We call cookies some the, you know, the, you know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about, LL kinda... Cool J? But you pink cookies in a plastic bag getting crushed by a building?
All of that.
that's what you're doing right now.
All of that. But I'm talking about actual cookies. And it was terrible. Uh-huh. These cookies were terrible. I'm a cookie aficionado. I know good cookies, and I'll never have these cookies ever again. My son went to Walgreens and got $1 cookies, and this is no bueno. Never again. Never again.
My bad. All right. I guess for starters, we should get to fantasy football. I mean, that's what the people came for at this point of the year and this point of their lifetimes. Let's get right to it. Top 10 players in the flex position. Let's start off with the wide receivers right now. I mean, this one was a little tough for me because I know it's an obvious Antonio Brown. But man, I really, really, really feel D-Hop is going to get more points this year.
That could happen only because only if Antonio gets hurt where he misses two or three games. I don't see him getting more points than Antonio Brown. I think if as long as Ben is okay, Antonio's okay, but I can see your logic behind it, because D-Hop is kind of matchup proof. It doesn't matter who's throwing the ball, D-Hop is getting it. You know,
and I mean, he should be all right, but
yeah, he
I mean,
should
knows,
be all right. So yeah, I can see. So you're starting that number one.
I'm not even gonna go here like with any guesses here.
Okay, so your number one is D-Hop.
No, my number one is Antonio Brown.
Okay, Antonio Brown.
It's just hard, like, because I think he is.
Yeah.
He's safe. Is D-Hop your number two, like mine?
He's safe. That's what I'll agree with you with that one thing. Antonio Brown is a safe number one. If you pick him in the top five, I couldn't argue with you. If you pick him first overall, I couldn't argue with you. You know, it's totally up to you. The injury got me scared a little bit, you know, but I don't think it's anything to be scared of. I think really and truly what a lot of people are probably about to be afraid of with Antonio Brown is Juju Smith-Schuster. But again, I wouldn't worry about that either.
Well, if you're worried about him, then you'll be worried about number two and D-Hop. But right. You're not really worried, because even though Will Fuller, who is kind of similar to Juju in the fantasy world,
right?
I still can't go away from those guys. Like Antonio Brown, like he's a much easier decision to make in PPR than he is non PPR, because you know Antonio Brown is going to catch those passes. But D-Hop, man, he will catch those touchdowns. Oh my goodness, he was on a historic rate with Deshaun Watson last year.
Then
just imagine like what would have happened if he was healthy the whole year. Like then people would really be considering, oh crap, do we have to remove Antonio Brown from being number one and put D-Hop at number two? Like I really feel that D-Hop is gonna score more points, but like you said, Antonio Brown is safer.
Yeah, he's a safer pick, and I like D-Hop at two. I have we're starting off on the same foot. The only thing I'm a little worried about is just one thing. I haven't really seen Deshaun Watson in the red zone.
A lot of who?
Deshaun Watson. I haven't seen Watson in the red zone. And when I say in the red zone, I'm talking, you know what I'm talking. Everybody else knows what I'm talking about. But I haven't seen him throw a liner from the 10-yard line and hit it in the end zone. Not really. I've seen the bombs. I've seen the big passes, the big plays. I've seen the over the shoulders. I've seen all of those, and Watson is 8 out of 10 times, you know, D-Hop is on the other end. But this year, I'm a little afraid that it might be a little different, only because of Steven Anderson. And
Steven Anderson?
Yeah.
I like him as a wide receiver, but I mean they had three wideouts last year.
He's their tight end.
Oh.
He's their tight end. And he's a big body guy that I think he's very athletic. He is a wide receiver. He is a wide receiver. But he's that guy that could take away some end zone looks. So I'm wondering what's gonna happen when it's a full 16 games and Watson is there and he's fully healthy 16 games, if he's going to take away some looks. But I'm not really worried. You know, again, those two guys are a lock. I don't even know why we're spending so much time on them.
True. Because number three is the more important decision, because overall they have Julio as the ranked number three, but according to my three, my third is Odell.
Uh-huh.
The overall three is Julio, but I don't know about all
that. I disagree with Julio at three, because this is fantasy football.
No, I'm just saying the rankings, but my third is Odell.
Yeah, we ain't going by them suckers in their rankings. We're going by our stuff. So exactly. I 100% agree with you. I will put Odell there at third over Julio.
And
because,
you know what? I kind of struggle to put Odell at two, because, man, it's like I'm thinking,
I'm not going to put...
I want to put him at two, but I don't think I can, because of the body of work that I saw with D-Hop.
Right.
It's just more consistent.
Exactly, and Watson is more consistent. And right now, Eli's playing like a sucker. You know? I can see Sterling Shepard taking away looks. I can see Evan Ingram taking away looks. I can see Saquon Barkley taking away looks. But Odell is Odell, and that's the big play guy. You know? So I can't put him at two for fantasy purposes. I could put him at one for personal preference. But I think Odell over Julio, only because Julio does not get the end zone look.
Julio, you know what? Julio's going to have a bounce back year, even with Calvin Ridley there. It's hard for Matt Ryan to screw up that badly with Julio, because it was kind of ridiculous how Julio wasn't scoring touchdowns. He's going to score more touchdowns this year. I just can't see him over Odell. That's my thing. Like, I think Julio's going to have a bounce back year. But that bounce back isn't going to be as bounce back as Odell, because I think he's extremely motivated. Contract year. He hasn't said much. He hasn't really done anything. You know how people would say, oh, diva wide receivers, they hold out, they pout. Like, Julio held out. He got more money. Odell didn't hold out at all. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to play it by ear. So you know what that means? It was a controversy-free year outside of the model with the line of coke, and he's just, you know, in a corner somewhere. I mean, whatever. He didn't get in trouble with the league, so he's good. And there was nothing. He didn't do any single thing wrong at all this year. He was a choir boy this year. That man, I think, is motivated for a monster year. Like, Odell always has monster years, but this year, probably a little different.
Exactly. He's in it for the money right now this year. You better pay that man his money.
Yeah, we pretty much did the, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Five, however, that's another one where you're like, I don't know. I'm in my head, you know, I want to say Keenan Allen, because, you know, there's no Antonio Gates right now. There's no Hunter Henry. right now. I don't know. In PPR, he's definitely five.
Mm-hmm.
Standard, it's an iffy one because I kind of still want to lean AJ Green here and even throw Davante Adams up there because Davante Adams, like to me, I think he'll, even though he's not necessarily a sleeper, for me, he's the guy that I think would end up being the number one wide receiver in fantasy, like Jordy Nelson used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But the safe route is having Keenan Allen at five. I'm not that safe. I'm going to go Davante Adams at five.
100% agree with you.
What? I agree. The genius agrees with me?
I will even show you the paper where I have Davante Adams actually written down as number five. Davante Adams will probably have, and I actually argued with myself back and forth to put Adams at four over Julio, but then I said, oof, you know, again, it's that thing about talent. And Julio's a tier one wide receiver. Adams is a borderline tier one receiver only because he has a tier one quarterback. And
yeah, that helps.
And I really wanted to put Davante Adams up there over Julio Jones, which is, I truly believe he's going to have one of those years where he just, it's going to be maybe not Antonio Brownish, but it might be Odell Beckhamish. So I see exactly where you're going with it, and I agree with you.
Man, the year that he had last year with garbage quarterbacks, and imagine getting Aaron Rodgers back, mm-hmm, and Davante Adams, unlike Devontae Parker, seems like he finally got it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Aaron Rodgers does help. Mm. But being that he's the only guy there instead of him and Jordy sharing, I mean, yeah, you have Jimmy Graham there, but we'll get to him when we get to tight ends. But still, that dude, top five for me. Top five wide receiver for me.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a top five. He's a top five. And you think about it, and a lot of people probably listening and they're like, oh, you guys are crazy. I'm turning this off. But before you turn this off, look at the other guys that's around the same second roundish wide receiver. Michael Thomas could have a big year. I would agree.
Very true.
I would agree, but there's also still Alvin Kamara, Cameron Meredith, and a plethora of other choices that Drew Brees can throw to on that team.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen is there. I agree.
But he also has choices.
He also has choices.
Because, I mean, Mike Williams has been making some spectacular catches.
Right. The biggest upside is Davante Adams. His ceiling is just higher than those guys.
Yeah.
Way higher than those guys. So, if I think Michael Thomas is going to have 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. If I think Keenan Allen...
I think his touchdowns would come back. Because last year his touchdowns were really down, but
right,
he was a very productive wide receiver.
Yes, like he
did not really disappoint.
No.
Except if you were in non-PPR, you're just like, oh, I just needed an extra touchdown. Just give me one extra touchdown. It just didn't happen. But
no, it didn't happen. It didn't happen, and it might not happen again this year. But who it can happen to is Davante Adams. I just think his ceiling is just crazy. Just way higher than these guys. His floor might not be as high, but his ceiling is much higher. So it makes up.
Oh, yeah. All right, so now we're down to number six. To me, it's flip a coin between AJ Green, Michael Thomas, and Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
PPR, I would say Keenan Allen.
Agreed. PPR, I would say Keenan Allen.
And then... In PPR, here's how I would do it. 6 would be Keenan, 7 would be AJ, 8 would be Michael Thomas.
Okay.
No. I'll flip Michael Thomas and AJ in PPR. In standard, I'd flip AJ and Michael Thomas.
Okay. I'll tell you what.
Keenan, I'm unsure.
Yeah.
Even though I like him.
I'll tell you what. We both agree with Devontae at fifth, right?
Yeah.
The only two people I'm flipping between PPR or standard is Keenan Allen and Michael Thomas. I think Keenan Allen is better for PPR. Michael Thomas is better for standard.
I was flipping AJ Green and Michael Thomas for PPR.
I'm not flipping AJ Green. I am so low this year on AJ Green, it's ridiculous. We're just gonna say, for the sake of this show, we're doing it off of standard, correct? Not PPR. So our list is based off a standard setting. So if I'm gonna go just by standard, I'm gonna say Michael Thomas at 6, Keenan at 7, AJ at 8, because Andy Dalton is booty. And he continues to overthrow AJ Green and put him in danger. And I can see AJ getting hurt early this year. I can also see AJ getting frustrated with Andy Dalton. I can also see them changing coaches in the middle of the year. But
I don't think they'll change coaches in the middle of the year, because I don't think they'll change coaches that they were supposed to change forever.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, he's the new Jeff Fisher.
He is the second highest tenured coach in the NFL behind Bill Belichick. I think it's been 15 seasons. So,
oh God, and he's been making the playoffs and doing doo-doo.
Doo-doo. I agree. Doing doo-doo. So
straight doo-doo.
So we got through
the first eight. So we're missing two more.
Two more, and I might surprise you on this one, but go ahead.
My 9, T.Y. Hilton.
Okay, I got you. Your 9 is T.Y. T.Y. is not in my 9.
Okay.
I have leaped. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just saying why I like T.Y. Like, T.Y. would be, well, right now he's going exactly where he's expected to go, like mid second round. He's another guy who has the potential to be number one wide receiver. Like, if you have him as your number one wide receiver, you're fine. Since Andrew Luck is back, even if he isn't back, T.Y. Hilton gets all the throws. He gets the long balls. He gets the short balls. He gets the slot routes. He goes up the middle. He gets a lot of yak. He does it all. Like, he's one of these do-it-all wide receivers. And, you know, Andrew Luck trusts him. Yeah. And if Andrew Luck's back, then T.Y. is back.
Well, they all trust him. Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, they all trust him. But to me, the most trustworthy touchdown person on that entire team is Jack Doyle. So it's I agree with you with T.Y. Hilton.
Jack Doyle.
It's my only problem with T.Y., number one, he had a very disappointing year last year to me, and just in fantasy standards, 966 yards and only 4 touchdowns.
You didn't have Luck. And no wide receiver played that well with Jacoby Brissett.
None, except the only wide receiver / tight end that's on the team, Jack Doyle.
And he was okay. He wasn't spectacular.
No, he wasn't spectacular, but, you know, you pick in the 10th or the 11th round last year, if you were paying attention, be higher than that. But Jack Doyle really, he took away a lot of looks that should have went to T.Y. So I don't even have T.Y. in my top 10. Instead, at 9, I have Doug Baldwin. I have Doug Baldwin at 9. And I have him for a few reasons. Number one, the Jimmy Graham experiment is over. That's one.
There is no Jimmy Graham. That's a good point.
Yeah. The experiment they had with Jimmy is over. Last year, he didn't have a bad season. You know?
No. He had a decent season. It just wasn't as good as 2016.
No, exactly. It wasn't as good. He didn't have a bad year last year. Matter of fact, he ended the year really strong. He had a 2 touchdown game against Arizona. He scored his 4 touchdowns in his last 4 games last year. You know, he actually was really, really, really good last year. And I think it's only going to continue and get better.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I hope so for his sake. I don't know about his health. Like, they say that he's coming back week one. Okay, well, all right, we'll wait and see. But I'm just not sure.
Yeah.
Now we're down to 10. 10, 10, 10.
10, I think we'll agree.
I'll let you go for your 10.
Okay. Stephon Diggs. I know it's a small sample size of what I saw in preseason, but the synergy that I see between him, Kirk Cousins, even though I don't think Adam Thielen was on the field that first game, but the synergy I see from them, that was spectacular. I think if Diggs remains healthy, he can possibly even be a top five wide receiver in the league.
He can. His problem, he's just never healthy.
Yeah, he has to stay on the field.
Never
yeah.
healthy.
I agree.
He's never healthy. I don't know why he's not healthy, but he's never healthy.
I agree. It does boil down to an issue of health. But with Diggs, he's special. He has big play ability. He's definitely being looked at in the end zone. He has a high ceiling. Those are the three things I really look for. So as long as they're happening, and again, I know I shouldn't look at preseason and go, oh my goodness, this guy's going to have such an amazing season, but it just looks that way. And even though he was hurt for about two games, he still played the 14 games and had 8 touchdowns. So imagine if he got another 2 touchdowns in the 2 games he missed. Then that's 10 touchdowns right there. Now we're talking about a double-digit touchdown wide receiver with only 849 receiving yards. That's ridiculous. So let's say he gets over 1,000 yards this year. Then we're talking about double-digit touchdowns. And this is just in terms of projections, trends.
Right.
So it's possible. And with Stephon Diggs, I put him at 10th. And I know I'll put him over Tyreek Hill, which is I probably am going to regret doing that. But I put him there because his ceiling is just a little bit higher only because of Kirk Cousins. And I'm not sure about Patrick Mahomes as yet. I'm still not sold on him 100%.
You know, I really want to put Josh Gordon here just for nostalgic reasons and just because he's great. But that'll just be completely idiotic. Even though he's back. Sorta, back. He's practicing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all you really need to draft Josh Gordon again. But I'm torn because I wanted to take that man and just say, screw it, he's going to be great. But then now I would not be using my brain. And my brain saw Tyreek Hill and said, you know what? Patrick Mahomes was born for you, so I have to take you at 10. Patrick Mahomes was put on that team because Tyreek Hill is faster than Yah. And that was his Twitter handle for a while. Faster than Yah. That man, Patrick Mahomes and him were a match made in heaven. And right now, Sammy Watkins to me looks like a Torrey Smith with the Ravens. He's a guy who's going to catch the long balls here and there. He's great for best ball. He's probably going to be the Alshon Jeffrey to Brandon Marshall when they were in Chicago.
Mm.
And he's still going to be a fantasy wide receiver.
Oh, hell yeah.
But Tyreek Hill can just do it all. He can do all the routes. Yeah. And that's why I have him at 10.
Yep.
And plus, he'll give you those extra yards with punt returns. And he'll give you a couple of rushing yards. I mean, it's not going to be as much with Kareem Hunt there, but still. he still had rushing yards last year, and Kareem Hunt was still on team. So, I mean, I can't go away from Tyreek Hill. I understand your arguments towards Diggs, because I like Diggs, but Diggs is, you know, a little lot brittle. Because as soon as he gets going, he'll get hurt, and then when he's hurt, he's not productive.
That's true. And I agree with you, Dan. Right. And that's why I kind of had Tyreek right below him, like really, really, really close. But again, Tyreek, and I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but Tyreek is someone similar to D-Hop, where they don't have burn in the red zone. And I tell you what, out of the 1,100 plus yards, I don't know the exact number, but the 1,100 plus yards and the 8 touchdowns that Tyreek Hill had last year, zero in the red zone. He is bomb. Bomb dependent. So,
it's true, but guess what? I mean, Stephon Diggs has that same problem because Kyle Rudolph will be used by Kirk Cousins because Kirk Cousins knows how to use his tight ends.
That's true. That's true. Andy Reid knows how to use them tight ends. I mean,
We did mention a couple of tight ends. I think we should go to the tight end section right now. We'll leave the running backs for last because they're the most intricate and a lot of fun. So, there's nothing to say with Gronk. Gronk pencil him in for like 12 to 14 games, and he'll still be number one tight end. So, I mean, if you need analysis on Gronk, just watch football. There's nothing to say about Gronk. But whatever.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say about Gronk.
Number two, I still have Kelce. Kelce's just more reliable.
Yeah.
And there's not really much to say. Ertz, to me, three. With the loss of Jeffrey being hurt, as he always is hurt, and probably going to enter the year hurt, like he always is, Zach Ertz is the number one target on the team. That's hard to turn away.
Agreed.
Even with Travis Kelce potentially a number two target on the team, he's more consistent than Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz is third.
I want to say this as well. We could flip-flop Ertz and Kelce. You can make an argument for PPR.
Yeah, you can.
You can make an argument for PPR to flip-flop Ertz and Kelce. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah. But standard, definitely, Kelce and Ertz. We're on the same page.
That's true. Me, I'm going to go old reliable with number four, Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say there. To me, like, he's old reliable. He's healthy. He had the Jones fracture last year. He got hurt twice like guys who has the Jones fracture usually do. He looks fine. I think he's back. I can't even say probably. He is the number one option for the Carolina Panthers.
Probably.
I'm going to say probably. Olsen if he wasn't older.
Yeah, I'm going to say probably only because Christian McCaffrey, and they keep talking about Christian McCaffrey. Jesus Christ.
I still see Greg Olsen's the number one target getter.
Yeah, yeah. He's the number one big body red zone target. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Especially with no Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
But anywho, five. This is where it gets interesting. Because you want to go with all reliable. You want to go with chances. You want to go with guys you're going to take. I mean, you're kind of stuck with Delanie Walker. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. My thing is, you want 5 points out of your tight end. 5 points in standard, it's 50 yards. If it's PPR, you want at least 8 or 9 points out of your tight end. Delanie Walker is going to give you that consistently every single game that he's healthy.
Well, Delanie will give you, like, he's a double-digit guy.
He is a double-digit guy. But that's why I'm saying he's reliable. He will give you that. And in the top five, those are your guys. You have to pick
He's not the Ferrari. He's not the Ferrari.
No.
He's the Volvo.
Don't.
Sometimes it takes a while to break down, but he gets you from point A to point B better than most of the other cars on the road.
No.
Less damage.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with that. He's not touchdown dependent. He'll get you them yards and he'll get you those catches. So definitely.
Yeah, he's just a guy like, you know what? He's not crappy. He's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good.
6-6. This is where it gets really interesting. Because for me, 6, I'm nearing a comeback kid, Jimmy Graham.
Okay. Okay. I can see Jimmy at 6.
Out of the rest of the tight ends, he's close to the top spot in targets. I mean, he has a upgrade in quarterback over everybody else because he has Aaron Rodgers now. Aaron Rodgers is looking for him in the preseason, and he's taking over the Jordy role. And if he takes over the Jordy role, then 6 is really underselling it for Jimmy Graham, and he probably should be like 5.
I don't know if he's going to take over the Jordy role. I think the Jordy role is to Davante Adams and other receivers like Randall Cobb and Geronimo Allison is going to play around Davante, just like Davante did when Jordy was there, you know. But
true,
I think Jimmy Graham, he is super touchdown dependent. He is not good for PPR because...
Oh, no. PPR, I'm going with probably a safer Kyle Rudolph.
I will... For PPR, I think Evan Engram is a little bit safer in PPR.
I don't know if he's going to get those targets.
He's going to get those targets.
Odell's back. I don't know if he's going to get as much because Odell's back.
I know Odell's better. I know Odell's better. But Eli felt really comfortable with Evan Engram last year. And that comfort, I think, is going to carry over into this year. So I think for PPR purposes, Evan Engram would be my 6th guy over Jimmy. But standard, yeah. I can see Jimmy there at the end of the year, right? He'll have, let's say, 7 touchdowns and 700 yards, which is good.
Yeah, that's
which
good.
Is good. That is.
It's
that.
Good, but it's not what you, it's not what you're used to from Jimmy Graham, though.
No, it's not. Well, it hasn't been for years. I mean, what? Look.
Yeah, that time of the year, then probably it would have been good for Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, it hasn't been for years. It's not like he's been the Jimmy Graham of the New Orleans Saints for the past two years. It hasn't been that way. I mean, the most yards he had in Seattle was 900 yards, and that was the year before last. That wasn't last. That was like I think that was 2016. I mean, last year again, Jimmy Graham, solid tight end, 500 yards.
Okay.
10 touchdowns. If he has that in Green Bay, then he's a 6th ranked tight end.
Yeah, then he is. You can't argue that part. So I agree with Evan Engram at 7 in non-PPR. Engram, he showed a lot of promise last year. He was talented. They said he would be a wide receiver. And Eli, you know what? If he knows that you're good, he's going to have tunnel vision for you. So he has guys that he could use. He has Shepard. He has Odell, obviously. He has Saquon he could dump it off to, even though Eli doesn't really dump off much. He has Saquon he could actually dump off to, and obviously Engram that we're talking about now. He's safe. He's fast.
Yeah, he's quick, fast.
And he's a wide receiver. He's a wide receiver playing tight end. It's like...
Agreed.
Every time you see him, like, damn, he's really good.
Yeah, he's fast.
But anything else on Evan Engram as we go to 8?
No. You basically said it all.
Okay, so at number 8, I'm going to go Mr. Trey Burton.
I like Trey Burton at 8. Where did you mention Kyle Rudolph?
I mentioned him higher in PPR because I think he's going to be more of a possession tight end.
Okay, cool.
Because Kirk Cousins likes to use him. He likes to use the tight end position.
Yeah.
Even though I think he has a special relationship with Diggs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where Kyle Rudolph is going to fit in, even though Kyle Rudolph is one of these tight ends who's been really talented forever, but hasn't really had the quarterback help to push him to the level of where he's supposed to be.
Right. All right, but you got Trey Burton at 8. I have a different tight end at 8, but I want to hear your argument for Trey Burton.
Trey Burton has been the only thing that Mitchell Trubisky's been decent at in the preseason. Trey Burton has also been talented when he was with the Eagles, and they got rid of him because they already have a talented one in Zach Ertz. Trey Burton is the only other guy outside of Allen Robinson that you're going to pass the ball to, unless you're going to pass it to Tariq Cohen. They don't have anybody else. I mean, are you going to trust, like, Kevin White? Hell no. I mean, that's it. And you put talent, you put youth, you put young quarterback who needs something to use, and I like young quarterbacks mixed with tight ends. They're their best friend. And if you have nothing else to use, you use your tight end as your best friend, as your crutch. So, you know what? That's why I like him. I like his talent, and I think when Mitch Trubisky struggles, and he's been struggling in the preseason so far, and he's been up and down, he looks out for him.
All right. Okay, and I can... All right, how about this? I think I'm right, but Trey Burton.
You're the genius. You're always right.
Trey Burton had 5 touchdowns last year with the Eagles, and out of those 5 touchdowns, I think he's only been targeted about 30 times.
Uh huh.
If he has building off that ratio, if he has just those numbers consistently this year, oh hell yeah, I think Trey Burton could be a top 5.
Oh, well, he'll be top 3 if he does that consistently.
Yeah.
He'll be real consistent. My only thing with
Zach Ertz was out.
Yeah.
This kid exploded. Well, he had a game for 5 catches, 71 yards, 2 touchdowns.
I remember that.
He followed it up by his 2 targets with a touchdown against the Giants because the Giants, you know,
we suck
against tight ends. Yeah, that's just what we do. Against the great Denver defense. He only had 2 catches, but one for a touchdown and, you know, 41 yards.
Yeah.
Against that vaunted defense at the time.
Yeah.
And Arizona at the time was good at tight ends. He still caught 2 catches for its score. I mean, the kid could play. Did just Philly had too much firepower and just let him go.
The kid could play, but I kind of want to see where he's used. I haven't really seen it too much in the preseason.
We'll see it in the dress rehearsal a little bit.
I've seen it there, but I want to see where he's used, and I want to see what happens when Trubisky is pressured in the pocket. Is he going to throw to him? Is he going to be his blanket? You know, if he's used
that nice little crutch.
Yeah, if he's used like a Travis Kelce, oh yeah, it's on, and that's gold because Trey Burton. His ADP is about 10, 9, 10.
It's like 10th round in 12-man leagues.
Yeah.
And so it's about borderline 11th round. That's amazing.
Yeah, that is very amazing. That is very amazing. That's gold.
By the way, what is your 8th position since you had somebody else?
Trey Burton was your 8th, right? Well, my 8th was... was Rudolph.
Oh.
Yeah, my 8th was Rudolph. But we already spoke about Rudolph.
Yeah, we spoke about him.
We spoke about Rudolph.
Yeah, he's my 9th. So.
I have Trey Burton at 9.
Okay, well, there we go. So yeah,
just
your 10th is...
David Njoku. Blank. David Njoku. Listen, last year, I liked Jack Doyle around this area around the 10th pick.
It's funny you say that because he's ranked 10th right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Jack Doyle around the 10th last year. And I liked Hunter Henry around this area here. But
man, Hunter would have been such a good pick this year.
Oh, hell yeah. But
shame he got hurt.
David Njoku last year was the 21st tight end. This year, the 11th. But he is my 10th. I know if there is a healthy Jordan Reed in Washington, the things he could do. Up there,
but he's never healthy.
But he is never healthy. I'm not even going to try to argue for him. I am putting David Njoku. I love what I see when Njoku plays with both of these quarterbacks, whether it be Tyrod, whether it be Baker. I love exactly what's happening there in Cleveland with David Njoku. All he has to do is just be consistent, and he'll raise up in value a little bit more.
He's starting to, because they're like, hey, why don't we use this tight end kid? Oh, cool. Yeah. Let's use this tight end kid.
You know?
For me, Jordan Reed is still my 10th, and I understand the reasons why you say that with David Njoku.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. It just, for me, David Njoku, he has too many other guys he has to fight the ball for. Josh Gordon, Jarvis Landry, Anthony Callaway.
Oh, I love him.
And then it's him, and, you know, he will get it sometimes. Like, I want to put him up there. I'm not saying not to draft him, because he's a draftable player. He's just, you know, to me, he's just too much to fight for.
Hey, look.
There's just a clearer path with Jordan Reed, even though he's broken. Look, all the time. He's broken every year.
Half of these quarterbacks that we have, half of these tight ends that we have up on top, the ball gets spread around in on their teams too. It's just that they're like the wet blanket. So they get thrown to a lot. Right? Well, for the exception of Jimmy Graham, because Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback god. Like, literally, he is a quarterback god. So yeah. It doesn't matter who's on the field. He's getting it to him. All of them is like their quarterback security blankets. You know, so with Njoku, he's a security blanket in the most important part, the end zone. So I'll take him. That I wouldn't have a problem taking Njoku over Jordan Reed or Jack Doyle, because he gets the ball where it's important.
That's true. All right, well, we're going to go to the lovely running back position. And the consensus for the number one running back overall is Le'Veon Bell.
What?
Thank you very much. I love Le'Veon Bell, but I'm taking Todd Gurley.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I was about to say, whoa.
Yeah, the consent. This is why I phrased it as the consensus. Okay. Number one pick in fantasy, non-PPR and PPR, is Le'Veon Bell, and I will take Todd Gurley. I would consider Bell more in PPR. Non-PPR, Gurley.
Mm, all right.
Any disagreements? Yeah.
I don't have a rebuttal. Todd Gurley is on my number one list for everything.
Yeah, he is.
Fantasy, like, football, life.
the contract.
Yeah.
Like, he's making wide receiver money.
Yep.
He's making some quarterback money. Like, yep. he's all right.
Yep.
Bell is two, and I don't think there's much explanation. Like, he's amazing, so yeah. He's two.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to give analysis. If you're this great, what the hell? There's nothing I can tell you differently. Like, unless you've never heard of football before, this guy is patient. He knows how to see the holes. Pause. But, yeah. Three, I went back and forth with. Three, there was a time I say David Johnson. Then I was like, they're lying. They're getting worse. So then I put Zeke ahead of him. And then I said, Zeke, your line is keep getting hurt. So I'm going back to David Johnson. Only because, like, if I had to pick both of them in a vacuum, who's the better player? It's David Johnson.
David Johnson, I agree. Who's the more talented player? Yeah, David Johnson. But who has the most opportunities on their team? Who's going to get fed the most? Who has the better quarterback or the better line? Who has the easiest schedule?
I don't know if the Cowboys is that easier. Because the Cardinals didn't make the playoffs last year, and their schedule isn't great either. But both of these O-lines, like, obviously Dallas has the better O-line. Mm-hmm. But their O-line is very creaky right now. I mean, they just lost their center to some weird disease, man. And yeah, there's no timetable for him to come back, Travis Frederick.
Yeah, it's sad. They lost their center to an autoimmune disease.
But they lost their backup tackle.
Yeah.
And I think they lost somebody else off of that line. I mean, Zach Martin is hurt, but expected to come back for the regular season.
Yeah, he's coming back. I don't think he's gonna miss a lot of time.
Yeah, but these two guys, I mean, Zeke and David Johnson, they're amazing. So there you go. Number five, I go Saquon Barkley.
Oh, hold on. So you got 3 and 4 who?
David Johnson and Zeke.
So David at 3.
And Zeke at 4. Who'd you have it? You had Zeke and David Johnson?
No. No. I got the same one. I got David. I got Zeke. But I got it for a different reason. Only because I like Arizona's schedule more than I like Dallas's. I still think Zeke might end the year, possibly with more fantasy points than David Johnson. But I think this is a bounce back year from the injury for David Johnson. I think he's a little bit hungrier than Zeke, so I think he's gonna break out for I think the big play ability on David Johnson is gonna break out more than ever this year. So yeah. And again, I like Arizona's schedule just a little bit better than Dallas.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah,
I see it. Well, I got Saquon Barkley at 5. I'm buying the hype because he looks amazing. And the Giants, you know, he tweaked a little something. He's fine. And they said, the hell with this. We're keeping you healthy, kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they know how amazing he is because he broke off the first run for like 40 yards in the preseason. First time he stepped on the field, they're like, oh, he's amazing. Let's keep him on the bench and not touch him again until the regular season.
they built a cabana for him.
What's that?
They built a cabana for him and said, here, you take a seat while Odell Beckham fans you with these straws. Go ahead.
He should be fanning him with his $20 million a year contract he's supposed to get.
Damn right.
I don't know when he's going to get it, but he's going to get it.
He better get it. But yeah, I agree. I agree with Saquon, especially over some of the other running backs you're about to mention. But I got Saquon at 5.
Yeah, he's just... He's too amazing of a talent, and the Giants' O-line increased tremendously. They really tried their best to acquiesce to Saquon. So they put all their chips on the table for Saquon.
Mm.
I think it's going to work.
Yeah, it's going to pan out.
It's going to be kind of shocking for Saquon to have the measurables he did, the touch, the everything. He's just one of these once-in-a-generation type of guys that comes into the league, wrecks the league, and then you're like, oh, wow. He may be one of these guys that for the next 10 years, he's going to be in the first round.
Yeah.
Just like Zeke and probably Bell and Gurley and David Johnson. I can't see them getting out of the first round anytime soon unless they switch teams or an injury.
Okay.
Anyway, at 6... I'm going to go with my boy Kareem Hunt. And I struggled with it because I wanted to go Alvin Kamara. The thing about Alvin Kamara is Sean Payton doesn't like to overwork backs. And Sean Payton will try to find a way to not overwork Kamara, even though he has the same measurables as Mark Ingram. Probably could do everything Mark Ingram can do. And he did everything at a historic pace. Like, the man, what he did to that league last year and what Sean Payton said, he was the number four running back last year and he was on a committee. How crazy is that to be the number four running back in all of fantasy and you were part of a committee? He only ran 100 yards once. But the thing is, he was such a beast in the passing game. Oh my gosh, PPR, I would consider putting Kamara over Saquon. Yeah. But in standard, even though he's getting more work, I think he has no choice but to regress. That was just too historic.
I agree with you. I don't have Kareem Hunt that high. I have Kamara at 6. Especially.
Okay, so you actually have Kamara.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving Alvin Kamara this year, even though I think he's gonna regress. And it has nothing to do with his talent or anything like that. Alvin Kamara is a once in a lifetime type of talent. I think the guy is spectacular. I love the way he runs. Everybody compares Joe Mixon to Le'Veon Bell, and I'm like, you guys need to watch this tape because Kamara looks a lot like him. And the patience, the running ability, Kamara is just the total package. He just doesn't get the volume. So you're absolutely right
but
there.
But he will get the first 4 weeks. He'll get the volume.
Right? Yeah, he'll get the volume the first four, and then after that, it's once again, like you said, a committee. But Sean Payton really does not like to overwork his back. But at the end of the year, I can see Alvin Kamara with double-digit touchdowns, just like last year. I can see him with all-purpose, more than 1,200 all-purpose yards, you know, just like last year, you know? So,
yeah.
So I don't have a problem taking Kamara. All
right, so we go to number 7. Number 7, I have Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, to me, this kid was special. Like, absolutely special. And he was number 2 in the league next to Kareem Hunt, wrecking the league when he went down. And he got an ACL injury early, so he had enough time to recover. And they're taking it easy with Dalvin Cook. You know, he's now getting on the practice field before game 3 of the preseason. So he's getting enough work in there. Well, it would make a lot of sense. But to me, I'm putting him up there because I've seen the greatness. It's not something that's a mystery. And that offensive line is good. They improved the quarterback. And they still have a lot of weapons. So Dalvin is going to get enough work. If he had a little bit less weapons, I might put him a little higher.
For Dalvin? I don't have Dalvin that high. But wow, yeah, that's kind of high to put Dalvin Cook, but I can see exactly what you're talking about. I agree with it. I can argue because between 7th or 8th, especially on a draft board, the way they have the running backs going, you can argue with anyone, you know, who should go 7th or it doesn't really matter. You could take either one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Dalvin is explosive, and if he stays healthy, then he's a top 5.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah, he is. And I like where he is. He's right in the middle. He's right there. Like, if you don't get the number 1 pick, but you're there teetering around the bottom of the first, making yourself an early second, he's available for you, and he could be a boom player. I love him. Yeah. I absolutely love him.
Yeah, I can see it. I don't have Dalvin at 7. You don't laugh, but I have Melvin Gordon at 7. I'm really high on Melvin. By no means is Melvin Gordon the greatest running back ever in the history of the NFL. But you know what?
You have You have who?
Melvin.
Who's that?
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon from the Chargers?
Yeah, I have Melvin Gordon.
That guy? At seven.
Yeah, he's no one. He's not special. He's not special.
All right. But I don't like him as a running back.
No, I but don't.
He's high because of volume.
Yes.
But man, if they had somebody else, he'd be like a 6th round pick.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
He'd be like lower than Joe Mixon. He'd be lower than Jordan Howard. He'd be lower than Devonta Freeman. He'd be lower. As a matter of fact, I can go all the way to Lamar Miller.
So he'd you be have lower than Melvin Lamar Miller. Gordon at, you have
but,
Melvin Gordon.
Well, Melvin Gordon is the only player in the league that had 20 and more touches in the final each of the final 4 games of last year. Also, one of the only running backs with all those touches to only have one fumble. So I tell you what, he's dependable on that end. I like Melvin Gordon volume, but I don't like Melvin Gordon the running back. So I'm going to put him at 7 just for fantasy purposes.
Okay, I just got disgusted. Thoroughly disgusted with Melvin Gordon. He's such a horrible running back. I don't even have him in my top 10. Sorry.
He is. He's even a though horrible he'll running back, but there's something to be said about volume.
I hear you a little bit.
There's something to be said about volume.
So who's your 8? Because I have Alvin Kamara at my 8, but we already discussed
about
him.
Yeah, we already discussed Kamara. 8th, I'm going to have Kareem Hunt. We already discussed Hunt.
Yeah, I like Hunt. Hunt's amazing. He's above Cook for me only because he's healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And they got rid of Charcandrick West. So they left him room, and Kansas City realized they lost games because they didn't play him enough. I think they'll correct that.
But you see, West wasn't their starter for last year. Wasn't it
Spencer Ware?
Spencer Ware. Yes, it was Spencer Ware.
He got hurt, but Spencer Ware is garbage. Ew.
Yeah. I can't argue with that.
Okay. He's your 8. So then there's a 9.
Yeah.
My 9 will go to the overworked, little banged up.
Yep.
But the whole offense in Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, agreed.
He's the entire offense, man.
He is the entire.
I mean, if they had anything but besides Blake Bortles, you talk about the best offense in the league.
Yeah, he is.
If they had a decent quarterback, it could be the best offense in the league with a decent quarterback. But Leonard Fournette, he's a truck. He's amazing. He knows what to do with the hole. He knows how to get there. He knows how to run through it. He's solid. And I like him.
Yeah, I like
not,
him too.
He's the kind of guy, he's not scared of nothing.
No. Why should he be? I like him. You know why I like him? Number one, again, strength of schedule.
Really much reasons.
Strength of schedule. I think they're like the 8th or the 9th easiest in the league. And in their division, their first game that they're playing against is the Giants. We're not that great against them.
I mean, that's a tough run defense with Snacks. And that defensive line, I mean, they improved a little bit.
Oh, hell like, yeah. They improved.
The Giants had a bad year because their offense stunk. But their defense, they got personnel guys all over that defense.
Of course.
So they're
one
of these bounce-back defenses.
They improved. But I want to make this point. When it comes to Leonard Fournette and you have him on your team, don't worry about the front 8. So the front 8 that they play is everyone from the Giants to the Houston Texans to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles is the team that they have to play in week 8. When you are preparing for your playoffs, and hopefully you're 4-4 by this time and you win week 9, so now you're 5-4, you're fighting for that chance to get in, and you need one of your players to kick in, they play the Colts, the Steelers, the Bills, the Colts again, and then the Titans up until week 14. This guy is going to be your workhorse for the rest of the year. Yeah. When I tell you I love Leonard Fournette, the only reason why I'm not in love and I didn't put him over Melvin Gordon was because his quarterback sucks. And and that's it. His quarterback sucks. So all you have to do is stuff eight in the box and try to stop him, even though you're not. But you, there's a chance that it could happen, and there's a chance that he blows something out because he's so overworked.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Yeah, he's extremely overworked.
So that's my, I guess that's our nine.
Yeah.
My 10 is somebody you mentioned who probably is nowhere near where you're thinking about. But my 10 is Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
And here's why.
He's got
breakout potential. Yeah. He's Marvin Lewis is the type of guy that's slow to come around, but when he comes around, he's going to use you to death. And Joe Mixon can do everything. Even though Gio Bernard is really good on the team, look, Joe Mixon has a talent. He is a first round talent and didn't get on the team because, you know, he had a DV issue on tape.
Mm.
Not really pretty, but he was still drafted to the league. And you know what? He's a talent that's hard to pass up. When Marvin Lewis finally used him and used him enough and gave him work, he was cooking. And he's much more talented than Melvin Gordon.
And Jeremy Hill.
And Jeremy Hill, who's probably going to get cut by the Patriots.
Yeah, he's much more talented than Giovanni Bernard. So I definitely can agree with you.
I took him over guys like Melvin Gordon because at that point, that high in the draft, I think I'll just go wide receiver there instead of taking Melvin Gordon.
Yeah,
like, I'll let somebody else suffer with Melvin Gordon, even though, you know, he should be a value pick. I was thinking about guys like Devontae Freeman, but he still shares in the backfield. And if I get him in a decent spot, then I'll go with Devontae Freeman. I'm like, okay, I'll take Devontae at a decent spot. Jordan Howard's still in the same position, and I don't feel as great about those other guys. Even Mixon, McKinnon, I don't feel as great about than Joe Mixon.
Mm.
So who's your wonderful 10?
I really would have liked to put Cook at 10. I really did. I really wanted to put Dalvin Cook at 10. But I went with LeSean McCoy again, only because of volume, and only because it's only LeSean McCoy. It's just LeSean
McCoy. I get it, but damn, there's nothing else.
Yeah, there's nothing else there.
I get it. There's nothing else, but my goodness.
Yeah, there's no one else. It's LeSean McCoy, again, if he's healthy, dependable. There's no stopping him. They use him all over the field. They're not showing it in preseason because he hasn't played in the preseason. I don't know what's going to happen with all this, the case pending against him. And I'm not afraid of it. You know, I don't know if the league is going to suspend him for any amount of games, you know. But
at this point, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear anything.
At this point, I'm not sure. I don't care. You know, I'm gonna say LeSean McCoy, and I tell you what, one of the biggest reasons why I say LeSean McCoy kind of has nothing to do with football, but has everything to do with fantasy. His draft stock is dropping, and it's dropping quickly. I've done a few mocks where McCoy is actually available in the third round. And,
yeah, he is. And, he is. And if you forgot, and you have nothing else,
right?
But, man, you know what? At that point, like, I'm really questioning whether I'm going to take Alex Collins over LeSean McCoy.
I like Alex Collins. Don't get me wrong. I like him. I like Alex Collins.
He's not a top 10 guy.
But I don't know if there is someone in the Baltimore Ravens front office with their shirt off and their pants wide open and looking at a picture of Kenneth Dixon. I, for the life of me, I don't understand. He had they used him heavily in the preseason game on Monday night. He was used in the first preseason game a little bit heavily. They love them some Kenneth Dixon. They are really trying to fit this kid in. He is 25 years old, and he got a hairline in the back of his neck. My man is off the pads, and he is just I for the life of me, I don't understand. Alex Collins is the most talented back on that team. It just seems possible.
I don't even think I'm worried about Kenneth Dixon at this point. I think we already know that it's Alex Collins' job, and
it is Alex Collins' job. But I swear to you, I really think that there's somebody in this organization that's like, oh man, the only thing I'd like to do is screw this goddamn running back up even more. Oh, come on, put in Kenneth Dixon, man.
Oh god,
I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
I
just don't friggin' get it.
But I
love Alex Collins. I hope that he is their workhorse. But between Kenneth Dixon and Javarius Allen, I get a little scared.
Buck.
Yeah.
Buck.
Yeah, I get a little scared.
My name is
Buck. I'd rather Joe Mixon.
And I like to.
I'd rather Joe Mixon. I'd rather Christian McCaffrey. I'd rather Jordan Howard. They're a little safer.
Yeah.
They're a little safer.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's all right. Like, I'm not. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is. Like, with them, it's like,
Yeah.
All right. Man, we got through the skill positions kind of easy there.
Yeah. Thank the Lord. Isn't like last year.
We're going to get to a couple of podcasts here. Probably after week 3, and then you get everything. Because then you'll notice the entire league and there's nothing else you could see. Obviously, there's going to be people drafting this week, next week, and the following week. Then you're like, oh crap, who's the other guy to get? I don't know. But we'll get to like a couple of quarterbacks in another podcast, as well as some defenses, and not really any kickers, because the hell with them. Nah, but I'll probably, you know what, I'll get to probably some kickers. Like, I'll give a couple of minutes on some kickers some other time. But as for right now, we're going to humbly end this podcast until we meet y'all again. We have the open Draft with Precision site that you can visit if you need any help with your fantasy teams, your fantasy lineups, and or you need somebody to draft for you, which is the reason why it's called Draft with Precision in the first place. So when you get a chance, check out the website called Draft with Precision, spelled exactly the way the words are. You could look it up and spell it yourself. I don't feel like spelling the stuff. I am so sorry. That's a bad sell. But still, honestly, draftwithprecision.com if you need any help with your fantasy teams or your fantasy lineups or anything like that. Trust me, we're here to help. You could criticize us. You could call us pieces of garbage. We don't care, but the help is what you'll have. And trust me, it's the help that you desperately need if you want to actually win your fantasy league. You can listen to this wonderful podcast on SoundCloud and on iTunes and on Google Play at your humble convenience. Thank you for listening. I'm signing off until another podcast. Rich, what do you have to say to these wonderful people?
Viva la Miami!
Later, people.